Welcome to the ETOP Podcast with your host, Richard Walsh. I'm a 30-year business-owning veteran, creator of the ETOP Academy, and best-selling author of Escape the Owner Prison, the contract's new way to scale, regain control, and fast-track growth while loving life. My mission? To help 10,000 business owners create the freedom in their lives to do what they want, when they want, and still be massively successful. Now, let's hit our topic for the day. All right, here on the ETOP Podcast with my guest, Dawn Sizer, we are going to talk about IT tech in the business, okay? This is going to be very, because Dawn is an exceptional expert. I mean, I'm talking award-winning, everything else, but we are going to talk about the big mistakes that most entrepreneurs make when they're trying to do this aspect, especially by themselves. And as you know, the topic of ETOP, Escape the Owner Prison, is always about delegating, eliminating, you know, helping the business run through systems, processes, and freeing yourself, right? So if you're not an expert in this, you're going to learn a ton. If you are good at it, semi-good, you're still going to learn a ton because we've got the expert on with us. So with no further ado, Dawn, come on board. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm awesome. I've been looking forward to this, Dawn. I really have. I'm excited because this is an area I lack in. So I get to learn, as I do with almost every guest I have on anyways, because I'm never, you know, the smartest guy around. But I'm just excited to bring this to my audience and talk about this, because I really think it's a big weak spot in a lot of people's businesses.
It is. And I'm actually really stoked that you're excited about it, because so many people are like, oh, we got to talk about IT. I don't want to talk about that. It's not something I'm comfortable with. It's not something that I want to talk about. It's not something I want to spend money on. I don't want to talk about these things. And anytime I think we as business owners or entrepreneurs are uncomfortable with things, we tend to set them aside. And this is one of those things that you kind of can't do that with, because you run your business on IT. You just can't set it aside.
Yeah, very true. I definitely know the set aside approach. I've done that to my detriment. Okay, so
right. I'm just going to put a pin in this for later, and I'll get right. That'll be a problem for future me.
Right. So as you know, it's probably a pretty common thing, because most of us are not experts in it. Right. And like you're saying, I think that every business has, and I don't care what you do, there's an element of IT. And that's kind of I know IT is a big, broad term, but we're going to talk about some big mistakes and things like that in this, because I think we need to understand how it really helps the business function from an efficiency standpoint, even a profitability standpoint. So let's get into it. I can't wait to hear. Let's start with, give us a mistake. Let's get rolling.
All right. So let's start with the really simple stuff, right? Everybody that has a business, I don't care if you've started it out of your own basement, your mom's basement, whatever, you had a plan, right? Some plan. You built some type of strategy for your business. But the next thing, when you start to lay technology on top of that, so many people have no plan for that technology. And that's got to align with your business plan, or you're just throwing money out the window. So that's usually mistake number one.
Okay. So let me ask you on that then, Dawn. So, and I know the range is huge from, oh, I have a laptop, I use email, and I try to do some organic marketing on Facebook, and I send out invoices. You know what I mean? So like,
sure.
When you talk about starting, I mean, and it can get to how involved, right? Running all your systems off that and everything else. So when they want to get in this planning phase, you know, how much do they need to know, you know, because a lot of businesses kind of develop on the fly from a startup position, right? So where's the real beginning point on that?
They, you know, it's, again, it's kind of like the business side of it. If you're thinking about, all right, this is where I want my business to go, right? You sit down, when you actually start planning your business, you're not thinking about tomorrow. You're thinking about what it's going to look like a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, right? So you want to look at that from the tech aspect of it too. Sure, you're one person right now, but what happens when you're five people? What happens when you're 10 people? What does it need to look like at that point? And you do not need to be a tech expert to sit down and figure this out. This is where you start drawing on your partners for. You're going to have an IT partner along the way to sit down, even as one person, a lot of us, even us as big folks out there, even if we're not going to say, you know what, one person, that's probably not as small as I want to go. But if you want somebody to come in and sit down and plan with you, I am so happy to have that conversation so that I'm not undoing the damage that you have wrought later on, that I would be more than happy to do that for free.
Right. Yeah, that's important, I think, because we talk a lot about planning. I talk about exit strategies. We talk a lot about this as you go forward, because you, like you said, and that's a very, very well put point. We're looking down the road. And again, as part of being a true business owner, is you've really got to be in that position to be able to look down the road. You can't look at just next Friday, you know, a month from now. You really got to look down the road. So as you scale your business or plan to scale, this tech aspect is a very critical component to making that a reality.
It is. And I mean, you think about just some of the tools that you use, right? I mean, even if you're a construction guy and you have your screwdrivers, your hammers, your whatnot, when you hire somebody else, you know, if you're providing the tools for them, then you have to buy them the tool set. Well, if you have a tool set that doesn't scale on the IT side of thing, now you've spent money once for a tool set and you're going to have to spend it again and again and again because it's not scaling properly for your business. So again, you want to avoid that problem down the line.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Okay, because I haven't thought of it in those terms. By getting an inadequate system, if you will, right? Or a piece of, I don't know what, technology or equipment, right? That's not going to be able to handle maybe the bandwidth. I don't know what the
sure,
terms are.
Sure, but I mean, when you think about software, I mean, everybody's going to spend some money on software, right? I don't care if it's a accounting solution. I don't care if it's a line of business software piece, whatever software it is. If you're getting something that's only really for one user and you suddenly have five, well, now your software is not scaling properly. And now people can't be in it at the same time. And maybe that also had a sales component inside of there. And you have one of those five people as a salesperson. Well, your salesperson needs to be in that software all day, every day in order to keep sales coming in, right? But the person that does the ordering is a different person and they need to be in that software too. Well, you can't have two people in it at the same time if it's not a scalable piece of software.
Right, right.
And it's kind of like the, you know, I have a bulldozer, but I have two people that need to drive it. It's really not that different. So it's same idea, just different thing.
Yeah, I learned that when I started getting into CRMs, you know, okay.
Exactly.
And man, are they all over the map. I mean, you really get, and there's confusion right there, Dawn. When I look at like, well, what do I actually need? How do I scale? Okay. Yes, they have per user prices, right? So users now are like, and a lot on most of them are like unlimited, right? As long as you're paying.
As long as you're paying, okay. Exactly.
Right, you know, $25, $75 a month, whatever, $100 a month, whatever it is, you can do that from Google to Job Nimbus, you know? So we've got all that stuff, but then you got to go, what do I really use in that? And if I grow, can that CRM scale with me? That's a big thing, right? Can it grow to whatever X amount of jobs, dollar amounts, numbers of employees, maybe there is a cap on that. Maybe it can only handle, you know, 12 or 25 per customer. So that's basically what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that type of thing. And then does it integrate with the other tools that I use? Maybe you use QuickBooks, right? That's a big one. Everybody uses QuickBooks out there in the world these days. You know, does that CRM or line of business app integrate with QuickBooks? So not only do you have all of your information for your employees, but you can be able to run your job costing through QuickBooks as well and be able to send out invoices quicker, better, faster than you could, right, you know, by having them separated. So those are things to really take a look at as you are planning. So that's that, you know, make sure that you're aligning your business with your IT and use IT as a vehicle of growth instead of hindrance.
Right. Yeah. I like that. I mean, that's in the, again, well put, a vehicle for growth. Right. I think too many times, like you said in the beginning, people think about, oh, it's the cost. I don't want to deal with this. It's another thing I have to have.
Yep.
When you have to look at it as an investment, right? It's an asset.
It absolutely is an asset. Yes.
Yeah. That's really important to understand. People, you know, the whole asset liability aspect of the business is to have those important distinctions because, you know, the efficiencies, the data collection, the storage, everything else, that's that your customers are assets of yours, right? So you need to be able to have all that information at your fingertips, whether it's down to autoresponders, how you can, you know, they can get super complicated on a lot of different levels, depending on what you're doing. But I'm going to go back to one thing is planning. Like, you really got to plan, understand where you're going to take your business and kind of how you're going to get there. You don't need every detail, right? But if you have the general idea, you can set up. And I think you've probably experienced this, I'm sure. But what I found with some of the CRMs and stuff too, just staying on that topic, is that some are scalable, but you don't have to get everything in the beginning, which is kind of nice. You can grow into the program. So yep. You can start at a lower level. Then as you need it, okay, this is, you know, 1 to 5 users. This one's 5 to 10. And then it adds email campaigns and whatever you want. So that's something to plan for and look for if you have a general idea of where your business is going to be going, right?
Yeah, anything that's compartmentalized like that, that you can just keep adding modules to, that is a perfect example of using it as a vehicle for growth, right? It's the same car, essentially, but you can now put on really cool options. So now, not only do you have this really nice Chevy, but at the end, you have a Corvette instead of the Cruze that you started with.
Right, I like that. That's a good analogy. Excellent. Yeah, that's fantastic. So give us the next big mistake.
The next big one comes right along with that. And a lot of people think that a lot of IT is point and click easy, right? We go out, we get a laptop, it works, it functions, it does what we need it to do. And either I can do whatever I need to do, or I can have an employee do what I need to do, or I know this guy who kind of knows computers, so I can have him do it, right? And yes. That's kind
I'm
of
laughing.
Like
I'm laughing because like that's kind of what I thought. Okay. And then the rude awakening happens as soon as I turn on the laptop. Okay. So
exactly. Exactly. And for the most part, as a standalone user, that is true. As soon as you start adding some complexity into it, that is no longer true, as I'm sure you have found out. The other part of that is, and I'm sure you don't have this issue with construction, but we have a ton of insurance and liability that goes along with this business, and it is not cheap. The guy down the street is not carrying that insurance and liability. And if he kills your business by losing all of your data, he walks away.
Right. Yeah, we do have a lot of insurance to deal with. We got people falling off roofs and doing all kinds of dumb stuff. So we have those kind of things. But I don't think we have any protection of our data. Right. And I think it's a really good point you just made, because I'm actually just kind of thinking of this myself now that you mentioned it. But, you know, that protection of that, I mean, that list, right? Your email list, your customers, all that data, that's a big deal.
It really is. And you want to be very, very careful with who you have in charge of your castle. I mean, if you think of your IT system as your castle, you're not just going to let some dude from, you know, the neighboring kingdom come in and run your castle for you. You want somebody that you trust to be able to have the keys to that castle and make sure that that castle stays safe and that you aren't losing pieces of your castle, you know, out the backside because you weren't paying any attention to what was going on.
Yeah. Or they're making it vulnerable to, you know,
to attack. Right? That's exactly right.
Right. So,
you know,
what
inadvertently or not, but you want to make sure that that doesn't happen.
So what, when you talk about that and having someone you trust, you know, how do you build that alliance?
That is a really good question. And yeah. The best way I can put that, I mean, it's the same way that I would hire a contractor, right? I have a couple people come out. I would talk to them. I would see how it is that they do things and see if it aligns with the way that I do business. Are they straight up? Are they blunt? Are they telling me like it is? Or are they just sugarcoating things so I feel better about it? I don't like that personally. I'm a very blunt individual that tells you like it is. And that's the way that I like to do business. So it may not be exactly what you wanted to hear, but I'm putting it in a way that one, you're going to understand it. But two, there's no sugarcoating it. It is what it is, unfortunately, in this day and age, and especially with cybersecurity, which we'll get into later on. It's just something that we all have to face. So I think that's part of it. But the other thing is you have to have a certain rapport with somebody. Because just like you're going to go play golf with somebody, you want to make sure that one, you're going to have a good time. Two, you want to make sure that they're not going to cheat. And three, that even if they're a really much better player than you are, they're not going to make you feel bad about it. And if they are a really good player, you're going to learn a lot from them.
Right. So what in that instance, okay, what level of, when I'm asked, say I'm interviewing you, right? You're one of my three people I'm going to interview. You know, what should I be listening for on a, and not just blunt, I get that, right? I do want you to be, I'm that guy too. I'll tell you straight, this is how it is. But what, me as the consumer, what am I listening for besides the bluntness? Like, is there, because you can go over the top on the tech stuff, right? The tech talk. Sure. Then I'm done, right? I've shut down in about 3.5 seconds, okay? But there's got to be, do you have like, is there this place where you're able to, you know, show, to demonstrate your professionalism, your knowledgeability, right, on what it is, yet still be able to convey that to me, the consumer who's, you know, has minimal knowledge to what you're talking about? How does that look?
I mean, there should be some empathy there because you're there for a reason. The first thing I always want to know when I'm coming in somewhere is, why am I here? There's a reason why I'm here. So what pain point was it that got me here in front of you today, right? That's the first thing I'm going to ask you. Tell me about your issues, problems, whatever, but why am I here, essentially? And I don't always want to know what it is that you're doing with your IT, because your IT isn't necessarily what got me in front of you. It's whatever it is that you're experiencing on an emotional level that you are uncomfortable with, don't like, things are broken. Things may be on fire for all I know at that point, but I want to know, you know, what's going on, what got me there, and where are you going with your business? That's the second thing I want to know. So where do you want this to go? And again, we're still not even talking IT at this point. I want somebody sitting in front of me when I'm in that situation that knows where they're going with their business, how they want to build it, and then I want to figure out how to build IT around that and make that happen.
Yeah, that's excellent. Okay, that's really, really important, because I think those are, that, I mean, that's the approach you do want. That's what I want to hear, right? Because first, like you said, address the pain.
Right.
You know, why you calling me, you know, and where are you going? Those are two very good things, because there's a pain because you probably can't get where you want to go, right? And then the second thing is, like, you can't help unless you know where we want to go. So
exactly.
Again, the tech aspect, the nuts and bolts are kind of irrelevant at that point.
They really are. I mean, I can sell you all the whiz bang cool stuff on the planet, but if that's not where you want to go and it's not something that you're comfortable with, are you going to be happy at the end of the day?
Right. I mean, I think I think this is a big takeaway right here. Okay. That people should be listening for those two things, whoever they're dealing with. I think that can go for
anybody. Exactly.
Right? We do it when we sell a job. You know, whether you're putting a roof on or selling, I got to do the same thing. I'm here for a reason. There's pain involved, right? There's a problem to be solved. How am I going to solve the problem? What outcome do you want? It's the same thing, right? They don't care really the exact shingle I'm going to put on the roof or the kind of wood I'm going to use. They don't really care about that. What kind of
furnace
I'm
putting in. No, but we don't want it to leak, right? I don't want it to leak, and I don't want it to look bad, and I want it to match the, you know, whatever's on my shed over there. So as long as it's, you know, those three things, we're good.
Right. You know, is the furnace going to keep the house warm? That's what I want to know. Am I going to be wearing three sweaters and, you know, four pairs of socks?
Exactly.
Stay warm, you know, just let me know the comfort is my concern. Okay.
It's not, yeah. But do I care if it's a Lennox or a train or something else? No, I don't care.
Exactly. So I love it. So that was awesome, because that is really, people need, and as entrepreneurs, sometimes we kind of try to push past that pain aspect. And why the problem is there, because we're hard chargers and we're ambitious and we want to get things done. And we don't want to admit that there's, you know, really kind of a, you know, that hiccup that's right there, you know, that it's not really just, I'm missing this, you know, or
right.
I was told I need it for the business. There has to be a true need, right? There has to be pain. There has to be an unsolved problem that has to be addressed.
Exactly. And you want to make sure too, that it's very difficult, especially when you know the answer to the problem, to keep listening. Because you want to solve the problem. And if you can't, we've all done this. I know we have. So it's that moment of just say your piece, you know, tell me about your pain point, and then shut up and let them talk.
Yeah. My wife calls it empathy. And
yes.
I have an incredible lack of it. So, you know, but that's what it is. That listening is really empathy. And you got to turn on the empathy button, you know, I mean, you got to hit that and listen because, and again, just, you know, they're going to tell you more. They're going to give you another problem, right?
Exactly.
Or they're going to give you that additional pain point. So I try to tell people, think of it as you're creating more sales. Right. Let them keep talking. They're going to tell you everything
you want to know. Exactly. Right. And this is terrible to say, but sometimes you have to like poke at the angry bear, which is kind of what they are at that point. Cause once they start telling you about all of their pain points, they're going to come out one by one and you just slowly poke the angry bear till you get them all. Cause you will.
But right, again, you need to plan and solve the problems.
Exactly.
And you don't want to get blindsided. You stop listening after the first problem because you got the answer. They had three more. You're not prepared for those after you solve number one. And they say, well, what about the other this? And they're like, oh, that's a whole different. You may actually set up the wrong whatever, right? Because you weren't listening. And then you can't grow into what their needs. That's cool. I really like that. That's awesome. Let's hit another one. Let's keep going.
So let's talk about cybersecurity for a minute. And this is like one of those things that nobody ever wants to talk about. They know they should, but they hear about it on the news all the time. And it's just so overdone. I think that everybody is getting, it's like advertising. We're getting numb to it because it's in the news so often. But folks, this is for realsies. Like you can't get away from it. You can't hide it. You can't hide from it either. Cybersecurity is something that you absolutely must do for your business, period, the end.
Right. And I know there's a million levels of cybersecurity too, right? Is that correct?
There is. And let's talk about the simple ones, right? Everybody has antivirus, anti-malware, whatever little product that you've paid for. Maybe it came with your laptop, maybe it didn't. And this is the equivalent of closing your door. Okay. So if somebody wanted in, they're just going to open the door and walk through. And that's kind of where antivirus has gotten to at this point. So sure, you've closed your door. That's great. That's nice. And as long as people aren't, you know, looking to cause trouble, they will stay out. So that's not going to do you a lot of good anymore because the people that are actually looking to cause trouble are going to do a lot of damage if that's the case. There's a bunch of really, really fantastic products out there. And I'm not even going to get into all of them. There's one that I'm a really big personal fan of, and that's Managed Detection and Response. And basically what that is designed to do is it lives kind of like antivirus does. It installs on a laptop or a computer or whatever, and it watches. It watches for things that aren't normal. It watches for maybe a program that's looking for different writes than you would normally have, or a piece of software gets installed in a place that a human can't see. There's plenty of little hidden directories on PCs. A human wouldn't be able to see them, but if that was getting touched by another program that it shouldn't be, that would be something that would make it, you know, take a little look at it. And behind that manage and detection and response software, there's a lot of AI that goes on that kind of watches what's going on your computer. And then there's real people on the back end after something kicks up from the AI that says, hey, this looks a little weird. And they actually go and put their eyes on it, look at it, see what's going on, make sure that, yes, that's fine. That's an actual process that should be going on, or no, that is an actual bad actor looking to get persistence on a machine and cause damage, and they can stop it right then and there. And it is amazingly fast, like amazingly fast.
Well, I see. Again, I had no idea. Okay. So thanks for turning the light on here. Okay. Cause that sounds really awesome, because I like the comparison of the regular antivirus being just the door shutting. Right. Just, yeah. Great. Great. If you got, if all your housing is a bunch of memes, right? So it comes in.
Yeah. It's kind of what it feels like. We live in the meme world here in the IT land. So that's kind of what it's like. But yeah, it is. It's like closing a door if you're using antivirus, and managed detection and response. It's like having this amazing security system that not only has levels of containment of, you know, swipe cards and cameras and that kind of thing, but it actually has actual security guards that show up and make sure that things are the way that they're supposed to be too.
Yeah, that's an awesome piece of software and service there for sure. So that's something that you'd recommend, kind of would, now let's just eliminate the antivirus, right? As far as it kind of comes with it, let's just say
sure.
that, you know,
it is. It's kind of something that comes with it at this point. Yeah, absolutely.
It's tires on the car.
Okay? Exactly.
You get tires when you start. They may be bald, but they're going to roll down the road.
Yeah, that's exactly okay? right.
So you're going to want to, would this be your next step, your first real step to getting protection in, just what you were just talking about,
managed detection and response. So yeah, I mean, that would be an actual product that we use ourselves, we use with our clients, that kind of thing, that it actually does, one, for anybody that has any type of compliance needs, that kind of thing. So if for any reason that you are storing health data or personally identifying information for some of our clients, we deal with a lot of police departments, that kind of thing. They deal with criminal history, that kind of thing. So it falls under some of the compliance things that says you must have XYZ. This covers that. But it also covers anybody that takes payment, right? So that also falls under its own compliancy. And you want to make sure that you are covering your business if you do fall into any of those categories, because if you don't and you have an issue, not only do you have to remediate the issue, but then you're going to pay fines on top of that for not doing what you should have to begin with to be compliant.
Yeah, that's really good to know. It's just like us. You got to have workers' comp. You know, mm-hmm. you're on the roof. You got to have it. You can't be up there one header off the roof and your business is over. Okay.
That's exactly right.
You know, and this same thing, because this can lead to some pretty major stuff. So it's good to reiterate reiterate the point of security and insurance. Let's put those together. This is insurance for your business, right? So
that is excellent. Yes, absolutely. That is insurance for your business. But the other thing with that, believe it or not, folks, when you have an MDR system, or if you're training your employees, you're actually like educating them with cybersecurity, your business insurance comes down because of that.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah, that's a great point too. So it's so important though. If you've ever you've been working on something, I don't care if it's a document or something, it disappears, either hit the wrong button or whatever, which I've done, take that frustration, that magnify that like 100 times, right? Like this, something disappears or someone gets access to that stuff. Maybe it does get wiped out and you don't have it. And this could be years of accumulation of data. Like we have customer lists that go on for years, right? Five years, 10 years, 15, 20 years. You know, where is all this stuff? How is it protected? And you have names and addresses and billing records and, you know, every bit of information you can imagine is in there. I mean, information is kind of the new oil, right? I mean, that's a really valuable commodity.
Well, and the kicker of it is to a hacker or a bad actor or cyber criminal, whatever you want to call them, six of one, half dozen of another, the terms are interchangeable. Your data, while it may not necessarily be valuable to them, what it is as you look at data, let's put the Marriott hack. They got breached a couple years ago, Marriott. The actual data itself wasn't all that exciting, but when they took hacks from other places and compiled it against that data, they could tell who was staying where, when, what they were spending, how they were spending it, the types of things that they were spending their money on. So they were compiling basically this huge marketing list against a couple different breaches. And it's the same kind of thing for smaller companies. While your specific data may not be all that exciting to the usual hacker, there's actually gold in the information that's in there to figure out what people are spending money on, how they're spending it. Businesses are another thing. Are they expanding? Are they not expanding? Especially if you look in the contracting business, that's huge. That's huge amounts of information that you could glean off of that and use it in different ways.
Yeah. So I was just thinking about that. They're using illegally gathered information to do illegal business in a sense, right? So they're selling these lists and this information. I might just be a marketer looking to find, you know, who stays at hotels. I'm looking for the traveling businessman. He's my ideal customer. And where can I get more data on them? And then this company says, oh, here, we've got this. We've got, you know, 19 points of this. And you're like, oh, cool. And so you pay them, you know, the $2,000 for the thing. And that was all obtained illegally, you know, criminally, I should say. Is that kind of what it is?
Criminally. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you can get it a bunch of different ways. You can get it right off the dark web. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways of getting at it. But I know a lot of people think, well, I mean, if they get my data, it's no big deal. Well, it kind of is. It really kind of is. And I think that that boils down into like the next thing that we would want to talk about. And that's, you know, educating your people, your users, your, you know, your employees, making sure, one, that they know what's going on out there in the world, but also educating them properly so that you can prevent that from even happening.
And that's usage, right? Like, listen, when you log in, you log out, you got, is that the basic, as basic as that? Or does it, obviously it can probably go to any level, but is that what you mean?
There's some really cool ways of doing it. And again, depending on the partner that you're working with, especially if you're working with a partner like us, we can actually handle that arm of it for you. And there's a couple of different ways of going at it. One is like in-person kind of things. Here's things that we need to talk about. Here are the things that we, you know, we want to show you, that sort of thing. But are you familiar with the term phishing? And yes. Not with a phishing line?
Yeah, with a P? The pH?
With a pH, exactly. Yeah. So phishing is actually how most breaches get started, believe it or not. They come in via email. A user clicks on it, and maybe it's an email that says, hey, by the way, your password is going to expire in a couple of days. Need you to change that. So they click on the link. They change their password. Doesn't actually change their password because they've given out their original password to a bad actor, a cyber criminal. And now somebody has their password for your network and or your laptop or whatever the case is. And they're able to, you know, grab that list, be able to log in, do whatever damage they're going to do, or just basically get persistent access to your data, your network, your information kind of thing. So they now have a backdoor into your data, your systems, your line of business application, whatever the information was that got out, they now have access to from one simple email.
Wow. Yeah, that's a biggie. I mean, and you're right, that email, you know, whether it's company email, all that stuff has to be, that has to be taught. Because I think a lot of people are more, I'll just say it, you know, more gullible than others. There's things that I just delete.
Yeah, there is. And honestly, we hope that most people would do that. But there are systems out there now that actually teach that. So there's two of us here that do it, and we get some really simple enjoyment out of it. I got to tell you, we craft these emails to trick people, our clients. We send them out a couple times a month and see who will click on them. And if they do click on them, we have really nice, cute little 5 to 8 minute trainings of here's what you clicked on. This is why you clicked on it. These are the things you should have looked at. These are the things that you should have seen in the email that would have tipped you off to it being fake, you know, that kind of thing. So you can automate the process for training those users.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've seen some of that. I've seen some of the automated stuff. Very in a very simple format, not even to that. That's even better. I love sneaking in and just, you know, it's like, you know, send it in someone to see if they can get past security, right? That's all you're doing.
Exactly.
Okay, can I get on the plane with a knife?
Yep. It's, you know? That okay. The social engineering part of it, it's the same kind of thing. You change the language up, you change some of the pictures up, and, you know, especially if it feels like an authority has sent that email that says, hey, I need you to do XYZ. One of the biggest ones that I've seen, and so many people fall for this, is people are able to spoof their boss's email, right? So they get an email that looks like it came from their boss, says, hey, I need you to run down to the store and pick up a couple of gift cards for these clients that we have. I want to give them out as gifts. And, you know, maybe there are $250 gift cards and they need 5 of them, right? So, and then just give me a call on this number and read me the numbers off those gift cards. I don't know how many people have fallen for that, but it is a lot of people because it's an authority figure telling them to do a thing. So they go do it, call them back on that number and give off the numbers on those gift cards. And they're out, you know, however many thousands of dollars sometimes. It's amazing how effective that is.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. But that's, you know, that's just a really good point on this, you know, from the security level. I like, you know, this is next step, right? We talked about the, you know, the manage, detect, and response. We have got that. So we get that software in there to take care of that. But now you do have to start training the people who are using all this equipment, you know, and accessing all the software and whatever it may be. So I think that's really important. And that's got to be an ongoing thing, right? Because things change. You're going to have new threats that come up, right? You're going to have new employees and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we recommend that you do a reset once a year, make sure everybody gets back to the standard training, like here's what's going on in the world. This is what's, you know, these are the things we want to make sure that you're looking for. Always make sure that you're looking at the person that it came from. Do you know them? Do you not know them? And then, yeah, continual testing. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You think about it, people won't answer the phone if it's not someone they know.
Oh, I know, right?
But they'll do that with an email.
So click on an email.
Right. You know, it's like, man, at least you can hang up with, you know, there's not someone you want to talk to. But yeah, so that's kind of funny. I just thinking of that. Pretty funny. So what's next on our list, Dawn?
So let's talk about backups, because I think we touched on that just a little bit when you were saying how frustrating it is when you accidentally delete something, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's right. Done that at least once, or I don't know where I put something, or I know it was here 10 minutes ago. Now it is gone. My world is ending, right? Because there was a huge, you know, client proposal that I needed to get out. It was here. Now it's gone. It's due in 20 minutes. And we get those phone calls all the time. So that's perfectly like normal user behavior as far as that goes. But your backups matter. And not just that you have one, but the type of backup that you have really, truly matters. And there are a gazillion different types out there. For those of you that are running small businesses, you probably know of things like Carbonite and, you know, simple backups like that. There are really unique ones out there in this day and age too, that use what's almost blockchain technology. The same thing that Bitcoin uses and other things, so that you can't tell where pieces of it actually go, and you can't tell which pieces touch other pieces of the backup, which is good in that if for some reason your files got locked through ransomware or whatever, you could go to the backup previous to that and it would not have been touched. So that one is still good, which is super important.
Now, I learned years ago, I was talking to another IT person in a company I was dealing with, and you know, when the cloud was, this was probably 6-7 years ago, when the cloud stuff was getting real big and everything else, and they I remember them telling me that, I think it was United Airlines, you know, they're backing up every 30 seconds.
Yep.
You know, because you have to, right? All that data and everything else. I was like, holy cow, that's a lot. But that's a lot of data, you know. So is there time frames on these on the Like a Carbonite, like the stuff you were just talking about, is it every minute, every hour, is it once a day?
So it all depends. Yeah, you can set that. There's all kinds of different ways of doing it. What we recommend is that you kind of figure out, you know, based on your work and how you do things and whatnot. Now, our usual is like every 4 minutes. So it's every 4 minutes, it checks for changes in files, right? So as we look at a network, it's every 4 minutes, it'll go through which files have changed. Okay, these, you know, 27 files have changed, write those out to the backup. And then there's an actual physical box backup at the location. So it'll write to there every 4 minutes. This is what's going on. This is what's, you know, going out to that little box there. And then every couple of minutes after that, it'll actually stream those files into the cloud from that box. So not only is there, so it gets a lot more complicated, you know, the bigger that your organization is or your business is, it can get a lot more complicated. But the important part of that is, let's say that, you know, God forbid you have a disaster in your building. I don't care if it's fire, if it's flood, maybe somebody was coming down the road and they ran their dump truck through your building, right? These crazy things happen. They happen a lot more often than you would think. We had a client that had an overflowing toilet right into their server room one time.
Wow.
So, and it's the stuff that you don't anticipate happening happens. And so if you think it can happen, it can. Murphy's Law attacks IT stuff too. So make sure that you have a really good backup. And when that is the case, let's say that a dump truck did come in, it ran through, you know, your server room or whatever the case was, and it took out a lot of your equipment, and all of a sudden you can't function. Well, depending on your backup, the type that we use, we can literally spin that up in the cloud, and in 15, 20 minutes, you're back up and running like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, that's so important. And I don't know, there's no business that would be untouched by a loss like that, right? Even in, like you said, even a 15, 20 minute loss can, you know, can mean money, but at the same time, the permanent loss is what you don't want.
Exactly. You know, again,
yeah. Well, regardless of the size of your business, whether it's a two-man operation or a 2,000, you know, 20,000, whatever, it's just, you don't want to lose that stuff because I always tell people, I go, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of time. It really was a lot of time to create all that data, and to lose that because of a truck driving through the building or an overflowing toilet or whatever natural disaster.
I know.
Disaster
and it, like I said, it's the simple stuff sometimes. But I mean, I think the flip side of that is for those of you that are working in the cloud and you're like, oh, you know what? I'm good. I have Office 365 or I have Google or, you know, whatever the case is. All my stuff is already in the cloud. And that's true. But if you don't have an actual backup on that, if you accidentally delete something, it's still gone. Like there's no backup. If all you have is Office 365, you still need a backup product.
There is some very valuable information right there, because I bet you most of the people don't know that, me included.
Yeah, they don't. And everybody will say, yeah, okay, but it just goes into the recycle bin. Yeah, that's true. And as long as you realize within a couple of days that it went into the recycle bin, you can pull it back out. But if you're beyond that time threshold, it is gone. There's no way to get that back. And you call Microsoft up, and I'm sure you can understand what Microsoft is going to say about your documents. So,
right. Yeah, I remember, I think recently Google, because, you know, you delete your emails and they'd save them forever. Mm-hmm. And now they get 30 days and they're gone.
Yeah, so that's pretty much how everything is now. It's 30 days and it's gone. So please make sure that you have a really good backup product, even if you're storing things in the cloud.
Right. Yeah. Great point. Very, very good point. That's awesome. See, this is really important stuff, Dawn, because this is stuff, excuse me, as me as a business owner, I really don't give it a lot of thought. I'm just being honest.
No, you know, we don't expect you to. And the truth of the matter is from the IT standpoint of things, we expect that you don't know what you don't know. Right. And it's the same kind of thing as a contractor or, you know, somebody else in the service business. I would expect that when I walk into a car dealership or if I'm talking to my contractor, that they would expect that I don't know what I don't know. So we need to have those conversations that say, hey, do you know this is a thing? Okay, then let me educate you properly so that you can make the best decision for your business.
Yeah, I was dealing with a business a few weeks ago and looking at some of their training programs. And I said, I go, look, you have a lot of assumptions in here. I go, assumptions are really not good for training programs.
No,
because you're
not
assuming
so much.
People know things, you know, and I know there may be a little bit of that as they progress through the system, but you got to eliminate the assumptions because, man, that's where people get lost because they're not going to admit they don't know something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're making the assumption. So if you can, IT, yeah, forget about it, okay? I don't know anything. You'd have to come in with, again, with the empathy, right? But you know, I mean, just if you've done it for any amount of time, I'm sure you think, well, yeah, we know nothing, okay? Just like you said, I can build a house, but I, you know, I'm having trouble powering down my computer here. So, you know, it's just how it is. You know, so that's a very good point. But that, you know, as a, you're a business, right? So you're a great service, but you're a business that has to get clients, but you have to serve them at the highest level, right? You have to protect their data. So you've got to have your own approach to conveying the needs, even the basic needs to the business owner, right? And yep. Then again, going back to what's their pain? Where do they want to go to the business? See how all this, I love how all this stuff works together, Dawn. You know, you got to kind of have this full package, you know, really be complete to really take your business, keep it protected, keep it efficient and moving forward. I think you have to have all this stuff together. I love what you're going through here because it's really painting a really clear picture on, you know, the necessity of what we're talking about here.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times, again, business owners do the exact same thing that you thought of. It's like, I just don't give it that much thought because I'm too busy running my own business. Right. And
right.
It's not any different for me in that respect. It's just that I happen to be running an IT business instead of a construction business or a plumbing business or, you know, whatever. I don't think much about my plumbing, by the way, guys. So,
right.
And I would, you know,
no one does till it's not working.
Till it's not working. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. But from that same aspect, I think that brings us into the next thing. I mean, we talked about, backups, and we talked about, you know, how we need to do things. And the other thing that we don't think much about is passwords, right? We all use passwords every day. We use them for absolutely everything that we touch, log into, our phones, our devices, our laptops, our networks, or whatever.
And you should use the same one all the time, right?
Oh, gosh. So, and like 43% of us all use the same one, right?
Right.
So it's an amazing amount of people that do reuse passwords. It is a lot of people that reuse passwords. And the next thing when I tell people, oh, you should never reuse a password. And they're like, yeah, but how do I remember all of them? Okay. And I get that. I do. I stopped remembering passwords years ago. There are password managers out there. And I'm sure you're all thinking, oh yeah, password managers, and that can just be hacked and breached and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you're right. It can, which is why we also talk about multi-factor authentication in all of that. So let's break that down a little bit, because that's a mouthful.
Right.
So password management, let's start there. Password management is basically a vault to keep all of your passwords in. Now this can get fancier or not fancier, depending on your needs and business. So if you're just one person or two people, and maybe you're not sharing passwords, there's a couple of products out there that you can go get today, literally put all of your passwords in them. It will store them for you, and you'll never have to remember more than one password at any given time. And that thing actually has something on it called multi-factor authentication. So when you log into your password manager, it's going to send a signal either to an application on your phone or as an SMS to your phone, preferably the application, because the SMS can actually be phished and breached and all kinds of craziness with that. So application, we want to use that instead. Microsoft has an authenticator. Google has an authenticator. There's another product out there called Duo. As long as you have 10 people or less, Duo Security is a fantastic option for you, because that's actually a freebie. And what that does is make sure that, one, as you're logging in, when it sends that signal to your device, probably your phone, it makes sure that you are who you say you are. So when I log in, I tell it I'm Dawn, and it says, okay, well, I'm going to send a signal to your phone. Yep, sure enough, there it is. And I'm going to click approve on my phone. And that just says that, yep, it went to Dawn's phone. Dawn approved it. It is her. So not only do I now have access to all of my passwords that I no longer have to remember, and inside of the password manager that I use, there's actually a generator for all of my passwords. So I don't even have to think them up. It's going to do that for me.
Yeah, that's nice. Because you want that. If you don't have to remember it, make it as crazy as you want.
Exactly.
You know, just exactly. As safe as possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. That's really important, because I think people do, I can't remember them, I can't do this. What if I'm not on my laptop, and normally it'll pop up like in my Mac, but then here I am on my phone, or I'm on someone else's and a different device, and you got to go through all this stuff. So as long as you can, like you say, get that. Cause I know a lot of like SendGrid, other things that I use for my, hosting my funnels and things like that, they went to the two-step authentication. Mm-hmm. You had to change that. And just because, and you see this stuff, you're like, and it's a warning sign. It means that things are getting bad out there. When these companies are adjusting their security, they don't do it because they had nothing else to do, and they thought it'd be a neat idea. It's because the threats are getting bigger, right?
They are. They're bigger. They're badder. They're uglier than they were previously. So yeah, I mean, they're not doing it for their own enjoyment, I assure you, because it is not fun to, one, turn that on, and then everybody literally comes at you with fire and pitchforks, because nobody wants to deal with this. And we get that. We do. As IT people, we completely understand. I know you guys think that we don't, but we do understand where you're coming from, and that it is kind of a pain to have to deal with. But the truth of the matter is that the breach that you might experience from not doing it is so much more painful that we would rather deal with the pitchforks and the fire than deal with the breach.
Right. You know, on that, let me ask you something, because, and you're very calm and you seem to deal with all this very well, but it seems to me, okay, from my standpoint, see, I'm not a big stress guy. It seems like an incredibly stressful business, okay? A very stressful job you have, because it's like you're at war all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't want to compare it to things where it is that sort of thing, but it is that sort of thing. I mean, it is an extremely stressful job, depending on, you know, your clientele and how they deal with things. And we have some that are a whole lot of like, you know what, nobody's dying, no big deal. And then we have other ones that are, the sky is falling if one thing goes wrong. So there are different levels of stress, but honestly, the IT part of it is not the stressful part. That's the super easy, anybody can do it part. The cybersecurity part of it, that's the stressful part.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean. It seems that, you know, when you're constantly having someone try to break in your house, you're not going to sleep really well.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. And that's kind of how it feels. Like, yep, somebody's trying to break in the house all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, I don't want your job, Dawn. Okay. I just don't want it.
I appreciate that. I understand that.
Yeah. But I do want someone who can handle that, right? Who understands it and has the proper tools and procedures in place that can keep all my stuff safe. So you are greatly appreciated from that end, believe me. Because I don't think a lot of people can really, first, a lot of people don't understand, but I think another one, it's very difficult to deal with, I think, you know, and with all the changes that you see like daily, whether it's new password, got to do this, change the terms of services and whatever, because this happened. And, you know, it's like, it's kind of, I don't like to even think about it because it's too much for my brain. You know what I mean? It's just too much to keep up with. There's enough challenges in business for me to add tech. Okay, myself, right? To do it yourself guy. Yep. I'm not the do it yourself guy. So I just, you know, that's what I want to appreciate. I want to emphasize the need for companies like yours who do this for businesses of all sizes, right? I mean, you're working with the 1, 2, 5 shop guy up to the big stuff, right?
Yeah, we do. And it's a really unique and fun mix at the end of the day. So I don't want you to think like it's all misery, because it's not. There's some really fantastic people out there. And for those of you that do work with IT companies, if you haven't called them up recently and said thank you, you can't even imagine what that means to us to not have a problem call come in and just say, hey, you guys are doing a really good job. We appreciate it. That's it. Bye. It's a huge deal.
Yeah. Appreciation's huge. We talk about that a lot too, just with our own people we work with and do that. But like you know, they don't see you for one, right? And you're inside, you're like the background of the computer. You know what I mean? Like you're doing this immeasurable stuff.
Yeah.
A little thank you every now and then to go a long ways.
Well, and so many times, I mean, we have a ticketing system and we're not just the people behind the keyboard. I mean, we start and stop every single ticket with a phone call. So whether it begins with one or ends with one, you're always talking to a real person at the, you know, beginning or start of whatever your issue is. But and I think that's important too, when you're in IT, to not just be that email, because it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good from the end user, and it doesn't feel good from our side either, because we have no human connection to you at that point. And I think that's where a lot of IT companies lose a lot of, I don't know, their humanity, I think.
Yeah, but no, you're totally right, because I have, there's companies I can name that like I put in a support ticket. I mean, I can't believe how great the service is. Like I mentioned SendGrid, right? They're phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They get you, and there's other ones, it's days. And they're big. I mean, I'm like, you can't get a response, you know, that kind of stuff. You got an issue, you can't get addressed, but I've got a couple that I like, and I thank them even in the chat. I'm like, you guys are like spectacular. I've never had someone solve the problem so quickly, get into whatever it takes. They get it done like on the chat. You know what I mean? It's like,
which is great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. I'm like, good. Because to me, just having to ask Because again, it's not my
know.
Area.
It's so frustrating, right? And I have to admit, I don't know how to do something. And then I have to go deal with these people. And what
and
are they going to
think?
And they
don't
think,
help me. Yeah, right? But then they don't help me. I get to run around for 3 days because I'm an idiot. Okay, so I feel like, well, they don't want to talk to me because I'm stupid. Okay, so it's like, it's just hilarious, you know? So I kind of look at that way, I go, well, it's not me, it's them, you know? But yeah, but to get that personal connection, like you said, start and end with a phone call, I love that. And it is really important because I think you'll create much more retention in your customer base. I mean, it's gotta be, you probably double and triple what the email company will do. You know what I mean? I really do. I just think people long for that connection, especially in that space.
They do. And I mean, to give you an idea, I mean, most IT companies have somewhere between 20 to 30% churn over a 3-year period, right? We've had one client leave in 15 years.
Wow. Yeah, that's a testament right there. That's amazing. That's awesome, Dawn.
Yeah, that's not too shabby.
No, but I bet you started that way. See, you started that way with that attitude, which is the way to do it, right? And then now 15 years later, here they are, still your customer. So you began right, is what I'm saying. You started with that goal in mind. And I think you did it, obviously.
We did. And I think that brings us full scale back around again is, you know, knowing where you're going, right? And then it's just a matter of applying everything to get you there.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. So, Lester, this has been fantastic. I mean, you said this, you did a great job from an understanding standpoint, okay? Because I know we talked before we got on about, you know, wherever our understanding level would be, you hit it right where it should be. That's
perfect.
All I'm saying. So I'm giving you a thank you right now for your IT expertise.
Well, you're very welcome.
So let's do this now. Share who you are. Well, we know you're Dawn Sizer. Like, give us a company, how people can get in touch with you. That's a biggie. I'll put all this stuff in the show notes too. So anything you want to share so people can connect with you, find out what you guys are about, maybe get on those calls, talk about what you can do for their companies. That'd be awesome.
Sure. So my company is Third Element Consulting, and that's 3rdelementconsulting.com. You can find us there. I'm personally on LinkedIn. So if you guys want to just, you know, hit me up there, that's totally fine. But for the most part, hit the website. If you like what you see, by all means, you know, give us a call, shoot us an email. There's a couple things on there where you can download some assets if that makes sense for you. It gives you an idea of kind of what we are, who we are. You'll find actually a picture of our dog on the website. Believe it or not, he's our director of marketing. So we try to keep it fun around here too. So it's not just boring IT people.
That's more my level to marketing. That's not, now you're talking about me there. That's about what I can handle in that realm.
So, I mean, that's kind of who we are. I mean, we're a good company. We're a local company, but we do have a national reach at this point. So we've really grown over the last couple of years. And if you guys are looking for, you know, somebody to get you steering in the right direction, or if you really just want somebody to help you grow, we might be those folks. And I guess I should mention too, that we are woman owned, which is kind of a unicorn situation in our field too. So
how about it? Yeah, that's well, good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm gonna leave it at that. But it's been great, Dawn. This has been just so, I'm telling you, so informative. I love doing this because I get to learn a lot myself, but you know, we love growth. Okay. ETOP's about scaling and growing your business. And this tech element, I haven't had any real tech guests on. I've had systems, process, things like that, but you are a unique individual who brings a lot of clarity to this. And I truly appreciate it. And I just want to recommend that people do take a look at your website, thirdelementconsulting.com. Take a look at that. If it looks good, contact you. Maybe you guys can help each other. That'd be awesome. So again, thank you for taking the time today. I know you're super busy. We booked us a while ago. I'm so glad to get you on, but it has not disappointed. So thank you.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Richard. Thank you so much for having me. And I hope you all enjoyed the podcast.
Lou, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the ETOP podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you liked what you've heard, please leave a great review for us. Your subscription and review helps us reach more people so we can show them how to escape the owner prison. Also, check out the links in the show notes about today's guests and more ways to connect with ETOP on social media. Stay strong and keep moving forward with your business.